There is hardly a man I know who can speak easily or lovingly about his father. Some have been handicapped from the start because they lost theirs early, through death or abandonment. Others tried for years but encountered only confrontation and heartbreak. The majority were caught somewhere in between these two cold fronts, as if one wrong move by either side might suddenly bring the whole house down. My father and I have had our standoffs, our fierce clashes, but there has never been a second's doubt that he loved me, that there wasn't anything in the world he wouldn't do for me, except perhaps give me the time that any child yearns for from their parents. For years while I was growing up, I could never really understand his absences. I could never understand how dinners and cocktail parties and first nights could be more important than spending time with me, his son. I couldn't articulate this, of course, but I can see now how it fueled my ambition, my underlying anger and rebellion, and my search for meaning in so many places: synagogues, temples, yoga retreats, tantric workshops, old Jerusalems, new Jerusalems, paths of love, paths away from my family's door. I can see also how it fueled a huge desire to do him proud. All my life, even in his presence, I have missed him and wanted him and carried an image of him deep inside me as a way of trying to bring him closer to me. I have, as a little boy, but also as a grown man, listened to his story, taken on his history, assumed his pain and ambitions, struggled with his multitude of ghosts, all in the name of a love and identification I could never quite name. "Was silent in the father, speaks in the son," Nietzsche wrote, "and often I found in the son the unveiled secret of the father." Perhaps I knew from the time I was small the traumas my father had borne as a boy himself, small compared to what many endured, but considerable enough and beyond anything I was ever to experience. I'm sure he told me about how his mother had left the family home and his stepfather had died, and how his second stepmother had helped him escape from the country that no longer wanted him. In my mind's eye, I could always see him travelling on a train by himself from Sondershausen to Berlin to visit his mother, dressed in lederhosen, with his name, Bernd Laser, on a small sign hanging around his neck as he stared forlornly out the window at all the empty fields and grey tenement blocks festooned with swastikas. A little boy, mostly friendless, motherless and stateless, travelling on a big train through a terrifying fatherland. Paul Auster wrote in The Invention of Solitude, "You do not stop hungering for your father's love even after you are grown up. One moves in the shadows of one's parents, and as a son, particularly in the shadows of one's father." If we all have a core story to tell, a story that lies at the heart of all the stories, then maybe, along with the story of my grandfather and his Nazi friend, the story of my father has always been my core story. Because like Paul Auster, I have carried around my father's solitude all my life, and like Auster's example of Pinocchio's creator, Geppetto, in the belly of the whale, I have always had the desire to save him from this solitude. I can see the weight my father has carried more clearly now than at any time in my life, and even though it was always his to carry, it has felt heavy on my shoulders too. My father was a good man, in some ways a great man, with great flaws, great attributes, and great contradictions. He was humble, but at times impossibly lofty. He was deeply insecure, but tightly wound, and therefore seemingly invulnerable. He was an honest man, a loving man, and he had lived such a lonely childhood without a mother, without a sibling, without friends for the most part, and he'd been mocked and bullied and banished at school and forced to flee his country. And then he'd launched himself on a near miraculous path of reinvention, such that no one would have ever guessed he was once a little German Jewish boy exiled from his homeland. But the truth is also that all my life I have loved this man and missed him in equal measure. Even when I was with him, I missed him. Missed the times we'd not shared when I was young. Missed the words that might have filled the silences that often seemed to creep over our conversations. Missed the times together that could have occurred when I was in Australia and he was living in England and America, rising further and further to the top of an impossibly glamorous profession, and further away from me.